Well, God made the mold for man. He didn't make this mold the same for every one of us, did he? And I'm glad of that. Can you imagine if the world was full of Allens? Or Michaels? Or Derek's? Or Melda's? What a mess we would be in, right? So he's made us all different in various different ways. Some of us are tall. Some of us are short. Some thin. Some rounder. You know, some with blonde hair. Some with beautiful red hair. We're all different. God made us all different, and I'm glad he did that. Now, intellectually speaking, we've got the spectrum there, too, from one end to the other. We've got the Albert Einsteins of the world who are brilliant, genius people who just know so much but have no common sense whatsoever. I think it's known that Albert Einstein couldn't even tie his shoes or something. You know, he was so smart. But we have those individuals that they're very bright, very brilliant, on down to the simple-minded person who is dependent upon someone their entire life. God created us all different, didn't he? One way that we are all the same, though, is that we all have temptations. It doesn't matter what you look like or how smart you are, we all are tempted in some manner. Jesus said in John the 16th chapter and verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." In me, he says, there's peace. But in the world, you will have tribulation. Or you will have afflictions or trials. Jesus knew that we will have temptations. Those things will come upon us if we are living in this world. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Well, what is different about us when we are tempted? We are all tempted, right? But what's different about us then is that we're all tempted by different things in different ways and at different levels. So I have brought with me this morning a bag of temptations. So let's just see what we have here. Oh. Here we have a already opened bag of M&Ms, right? Now, I guarantee you that if I was to put these in a bowl and set them on the table out back this afternoon, someone would be tempted to stick their greasy, grimy little paw in there and get one of those out of there, right? Or the whole bowl full. These are tempting. The melt in your mouth, not in your hands, sweet deliciousness of M&Ms, right? Now, if anybody knows me, would I be tempted by this? Not whatsoever. These could grow mold on them before I would eat them, because I do not like chocolate. And chocolate pie would be the last type of pie, Doug, that I would want to eat. So here's a temptation for somebody, right? But not for me. All right. So, somebody wanted me to pass them around, I take it, right? Okay. Well, let's see what else we got in here. Nice, shiny, brand new Ford Mustang GT. And that's a nice car, right? Well, I'm not tempted by a Ford Mustang GT, but what I want that to represent is are you tempted to keep up with the Joneses of this world? I want to have what my neighbor has. I want to have the new car. I want to have the new motorcycle. I want to have something that puts me in the same category with them. Doug's new fancy house that he wants. I want to have a better job. Well, and then I focus on getting that. It's tempting, isn't it? It's tempting to go down that road so that I can get more stuff to put in my basement or my office or my garage. whatever it might be, to keep up with the Joneses. Does that tempt you? When we go down that path, we've all of a sudden neglected some of the more weightier things, as the Lord would say. So now we've started neglecting our family. We spend more time at work so that we can get the Mustang GT. Maybe we get a more prestigious job that pays more so that we can get the stuff that we want. And we neglect our family. Or we're way too busy to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And serving the Lord becomes a burden in my life because I have better things to do. Is that tempting to you? Think about that. Purple-haired Barbie doll. It was the only one that was dressed in our home. And she made the cut. What I want this young lady to represent is the lust of the eyes. Men and women alike have a desire for the flesh. And don't think that because you're a Christian, you are not drawn to the lust of the eyes, and specifically pornography. Men and women have this problem. And for those young people who are getting ready to jump out of the nest and go to college, be ready. Because it's all around us, and our society has accepted it as a way of life. Whether it's television, magazines, even to the simplest thing as billboards, you are going to be pummeled by the devil with the opportunity to dwell on the flesh. And there's no sin, I don't think, that is represented better by James in James chapter 1 when he talks about the progression of sin. How that we can be enticed and then our desires become to dwell upon that sin. And then that sin, when it brings forth, whenever it's born, brings forth what? Death. Be aware of the harlot. Be aware of pornography that is in our society, because this temptation surely and truly is a sin that snares us and keeps us from serving the Lord. And that was James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, which was so aptly read this morning. It will have a desire and bring forth death in the end. What else do I have in my bag of temptations here? That's a pretty good wad of money. To be exact, about $305. Do you want more of it? No? Yeah, we do. It would be so nice to have the security of having more of this money. Right? That's all play money, by the way. So, feel free. Because if it's not in my home, it's not on the floor. But there's a pile of it there. And every one of us are tempted to get more of it. And not only get more of it, but to hoard it. We're tempted to keep it to myself because it's mine. I work hard for my money, and why should anybody else get it? Right? I've got retirement to think about. I've got college to think about. I've got the new car to think about. I've got the house that I want. I got to think about all the money for that. The nursing home. Oh, dear. We've got to put it away for that, too. Pretty soon, we become misers. Pretty soon, we become so focused on keeping my money that we neglect those who are hungry, those who are sick, those who need a family, those who are just those we love. Because we focus on keeping that money, it's not for anyone else but me. Hot dogs? Is anybody tempted by hot dogs here? Yeah? Got a grill? Throw them four hot dogs on the grill. There'd be somebody in line to get them, wouldn't they? Yeah? You know, even the simplest things as food can be tempting to us, can't it? I don't know if it'd be hot dogs or not, but I just thought it was a good visual. But I'm tempted here pretty soon. You know what? I've made a vow this morning that I will only eat one plate of food after a while at a time. Okay? One plate at a time. So I'm not tempted to get more than one plate, and hold me to that. Okay? Now, when it comes to dessert, I didn't say, anyway, you get the point. Are you tempted by food? We all love to eat, don't we? And Shawnee and I, one of our favorite things to do together as a husband and wife is to go out to eat. We have budgeted our entire life together for that, so that we can go out and enjoy a fun meal together, something different to try. Sometimes we make mistakes in doing that and got something we didn't like, but we enjoy that together. And we love to eat. We love to taste. We love to savor. And we love to get fat and feel sleepy. That's just who we are, isn't it? We all have different temptations. We do. The point of this lesson this morning is not to make us think of our temptations, but rather I want to leave you this morning with a fistful of ways to knock out temptations in your life. So five things this morning to make a fist, to knock out the temptations of our life so that we can be more righteous and holy. The first one is, well, before we go there, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken us except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." God's going to give us, boom, just miraculously, the way of escape from our temptations, right? The way of escape from the temptation. Is he going to make the M&Ms disappear? Or the hot dogs off the grill, poof, they're gone? Or the money? You know what, brethren? We have to get involved whenever it comes to our temptations. Yeah, God has given us different avenues and different routes and different ways to overcome these temptations. He's put them there. But we've got to take the first step to find them. We've got to take the first step to make them known to me, what I can do to get away from these things. Don't expect God to just miraculously make it happen. But you have to take the first step. And the first one I wanted to talk about this morning in making our fist to knock out temptations is to leave the situation. If you're in a situation that you are tempted to do something that is going to become sinful to you, get out of there. Get out of that situation. And you know, that may seem a little bit hard at times. A young man is put into a situation with a bunch of friends, and it's something that is going to tempt him to fall into sin. What are my friends going to think of me? What are they going to think if I say, nope, I've got to go? How are they going to look upon me? Those are tough things to have to deal with, aren't they? But God wants us to leave the situation. It reminds me of Joseph. Remember Potiphar's wife? Oh, what a temptation that should have been for Joseph. But it says in Genesis chapter 39 and 12 that when she caught him by the garment, he left it in her hand and fled and ran outside. Get out of those situations that are tempting and run away as fast as you can. The quicker, the better. Because the longer that you linger in that temptation, the easier it is going to be to stay there and become tempted. And it starts to be born in your life, and pretty soon you have conceived that to the extent that you will die spiritually if you dwell on it. He fled and ran, and to me it seems as though he may have been naked whenever he was running. She took his garment. How embarrassing would that have been? Wasn't that Joseph? Isn't he Potiphar's? He was just running. How embarrassing. It doesn't matter, boys, how embarrassing it might be. It doesn't matter, girls, how embarrassing it might be for you to run away from a temptation. Do it. Get away from it so that you can live. In Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and verse 29, turn with me if you want to, we see some encouraging words from the book of Proverbs. And 10 and 29 says, excuse me, "The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity." You see, running away from temptations is the way of the Lord. Getting away from those tempting situations is what God wants you to do. And it will bring then what? Righteousness. It will bring you strength. You will be upright. But if you stay there, the workers of iniquity, destruction will follow. Running could be considered the way of the Lord. Staying in the situation will lead you to destruction. And then over in verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 19, it says, "As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. So if you want to run away from those temptations, you're running towards righteousness, and it leads to life. If you want to stay there and dwell on it, play around a little bit, see how things go, death will soon follow. The Bible speaks it. Leave the situation, brethren, and live. Number two in making our fist is prayer. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was led into the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil after fasting, we've talked about numerous things that I'm mentioning today already. We see that it says there in the text that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit before he went into the wilderness. See, he didn't go alone. He went with the Spirit of the Lord. And brethren, if you are in a tempting situation, if you have a temptation that is leading to sin, get on your knees and pray. And pray that that Spirit of the Lord will come in you stronger than ever to help you overcome the temptations that are before you. The power of the Lord can help you overcome anything. Get on your knees and pray. Because if you are focusing on talking to God, you're not focusing on the temptation. And if you are seeking His will and wanting His help in temptations, you're not focusing on the temptation. The way of escape's there. He's going to give it to you. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, we find that this talking to God will produce something in you. It will give you confidence. So 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." This is the confidence. If we ask anything according to what? His will. Now, is it the will of the Lord for me to be caught in a trap and a snare and sin? No. So if I am on my knees praying to God to help me out of this temptation, would this be His will? I believe it would be. And He's going to hear you. And the way of escape will be given. He will help you through that situation. And again, if anything, you're focusing on Him instead of the situation that you're in. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Here's the confidence that we can come before God knowing that I can pour it all out to Him and let Him know, "I need Your help. I need You to help me through this temptation." He'll hear it and will provide that way of escape as He said He would do. Setting our mind on prayer will take our mind off of the temptation. So that's number two, pray. Number three in making our fist to knock out temptation is to read your Bible. If you're not in the Word, Word's not in you. You're not in the Word. The Word's not in you. That's all there is to it. In John chapter 4 and verse 14, when Jesus was talking to that Samaritan woman, he said that this water will become a fountain of water springing up into you everlasting life. If you're not in the Word, you don't know about these things. You don't know about the everlasting comfort in life that you're going to have and the tools and the power that comes from that. Got to get in the Word in order to know how to get out of temptation. In Psalm chapter 119, I'd like to read a few verses here, verses 9 through 16. I could really read the whole chapter, but that would be the longest chapter in the Bible. So we're not going to do that. We're going to pick out just a few verses here. Psalm chapter 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Brethren, if we're not in the word's not in us. It's just that clear. We've got to get in the word in order to know how to overcome the temptations before us. Cleanse my way. Heed the word in order to do that. Hide it in your heart so that I might not sin against you. In Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, way before the children of Israel ever thought of having a king, God spoke through Moses to the people about how they would act and react when they chose a king down the road. And in the 17th chapter, he tells them, you know what? These kings, they need to focus on certain things. And they need to focus, number one, on not gathering for themselves many horses. Wild horses will draw a man away, right? I guess. I don't understand that statement because I'm not a horse lover. But God said to them, don't gather up for yourselves many horses, many women, and lots of money. Those three things as king you do not do. But then he says, this is what you shall do as king. And if you want to pick up with me in chapter 17, and we'll start there in verse 18. Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of the law in a book from the one before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand nor to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. God knew that this man, when he was in a position of authority, needed to stay in the Word in order to stay as a king. And we saw what happened when these men did not do this later on in the books of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and Chronicles. So what are we doing with the Word? Are we putting it into our lives? Or is it just something that we do today? If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Honey, where's my Bible? Have you seen my Bible? No, I haven't seen it. Well, it's time to go to church. Where's my Bible? Guess where we found it? Huh? In the car. Where it was left from last Lord's Day. Have you ever done that? Guilty. Sun's faded the cover. There it is, sitting in the car. Our greatest offense against temptation is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 calls the word the sword of the Spirit. That's what we can fight against our temptations with. If it isn't sharp, it does you no good. Get in the Word, brethren, and you will have the third finger down when it comes to making that fist for knocking out those temptations. Number four to making this fist to knock out temptations in your life is sing praises to God. I know there's some of you in here that like to listen to spiritual music every minute that you're awake, and that is wonderful because you are singing praises to God in your mind all day long, and that is great. Music can soothe the savage beast, right? Yeah. Music can also break the coldness of a man's heart. There is actually music therapy for those who are in need of encouragement and ways to overcome depression or sickness in their life, to use music to help them overcome those problems. If we are focusing on praising God through our mind and our hearts and our lips, we're not going to be focusing on the temptations that are before us. So just another simple way to help us get through those challenging times of our life. A couple scriptures from Psalm chapter 9, verses 11 and 12 says, "Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare His deeds among the people. When He avenges blood, He remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble." If you're praying to God, He's hearing you. He doesn't forget the cry that's coming to Him from the humble. Humbling yourself and praising Him, letting Him know that I love you, He's listening. He's going to empower you, give you the capability to get through this time in your life that is such a struggle. And then Psalm 104, if you're writing down, in verses 33 through 35, it says there, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord." You singing as long as you live? Are you meditating? And those meditations become sweet. Sing to the Lord, and you'll have one more finger down whenever it comes to making a fist to knock out temptation in your life. Number five. Go to your confidant. That's a big word for me, confidant. Had to look it up, but I knew it was out there. Let's talk about it. Who do you confide in? Who do you go to share your temptations, to share your secrets and your private manners? Who do you go to with those things, knowing that you can share with them and trust that it will not be repeated to others? Do you have a confidant in the Lord's body? Do you have somebody that you can trust in this manner? Or are you going outside of your brotherhood and seeking help from someone else? We need to have one another whenever it comes to sharing our struggles. Because here in the Lord's body is where we can get help. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, "The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Now you tell me that those two boys, those two young men, didn't share and didn't care for one another and didn't love one another to the extent that they would do anything to help them overcome a temptation. Yep. They did. And remember what Jonathan said to David whenever he knew about Bathsheba and that son that was conceived in sin? He said, "You are the man, David. You are the man." He held him to the fire. We got to have one another whenever it comes to temptations. We've got to have somebody that we can confide in and share and be encouraged and built up. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Do you have a safe place to go to in the Lord's body? Do you have that counselor you can seek to help you overcome your temptations? We've got to have somebody, maybe only one, and if it is, that's great. But we need to seek out one another and confide in one another. In Romans chapter 15 and verses 1 through 2, we're told here to bear. "We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Have you ever been weak? Spiritually? Physically? Oh yeah. Have you ever been strong? Sure. So if you have somebody to confide in, at some point in time, one of those persons in that relationship is going to be weak, while the other one is strong. And that may flip a week later. Somebody else may be weak while you are strong. But still, we need to confide in one another, and we ought to bear with the weaknesses of the weak. Why, though? Because he says we please for his good and to build him up, to edify him. Are we willing to seek out a brother and sister in Christ when we are weak? Or are we too proud, thinking, "I can do this on my own"? No, we can't do it. We need somebody to confide in, to help us get through those temptations. So we've made a fist to help us knock out temptations in our life. Number one, we need to leave the situation. Let's do it this way. Number one, we need to leave the... Well, we don't want to tuck the thumb in there, do we? Number one, we need to leave the situation. Number two, get on your knees and pray. Number three, get in the Word, or it's not going to be in you. Read your Bible. Number four, sing praises to the Lord. And number five, find that confidant for your life. The message is yours this morning. If you have any needs this morning, and have temptations maybe that you're struggling with, you can make that known. You know, Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason that we can get through our temptations. And if He's not in your life, then none of these principles will work. So if you have a need to come to Christ this morning, do so as we sing the song of encouragement.